Our scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and 20 through 28. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And this is the fourth day, or the fifth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're continuing our Easter season journey towards joy. And I want to just redefine joy for you as we begin. This is how I'm defining joy for this Easter season. Joy is our sense of connection to what is most deeply good, beautiful, and true in us and in the world around us. That deep goodness, beauty, and truth is the presence and fingerprints of God, whose creative glory fills the earth, who endows human beings with the divine image, and who is making all things new through the Spirit of the risen Christ. And so our joy comes from that sense of connection with God and with all of the good things God has planted in this world and in you. This morning I want to suggest something that might seem a little strange to you, especially when we talk about, you know, the value of moderation and temperance and all of those good things. I want to offer to you that God is a God of extremes. And until we learn that, we're not going to experience the fullness of joy. God is the God of extremes, and joy is found in those extremes. So let me explain what I mean for a moment. I'm not talking about skydiving or the X Games or extreme sports. I'm not talking about just doing extreme things like that. I'm not talking about the political extremes or ideological extremes. What I'm talking about is in the extremes of reality. Let's think about our daily life. Let's illustrate this for a minute. And I'm wondering what your perspective is when you wake up in the morning on what's going to happen and how you're going to engage that day. I think for most of us, we have at least one of these three orientations as we begin our day. Some of us are survival oriented. We begin with the question, how can I get through the day? Anyone know what I mean? Right? Some of us are task oriented. What do I need to accomplish or produce today? Some of us are comfort oriented. How do I keep the peace and make people happy? So we go about our day with these approaches of either protecting or controlling or complying. And I didn't come up with these. These are things I've learned about over the years. Protect or control or comply. And with all of these ways that we approach and engage reality throughout our daily lives, what we're doing is we're keeping reality at arm's length. We're keeping a social distance, if you will, from reality. We want life, we want reality to be something that is manageable, that we can grasp, or that we can master. Because reality, in reality, is way too big, mysterious, deep, and complex to manage and to grasp and to master. And so what we do is we kind of try to straddle some middle line that keeps us from being overwhelmed by the extremes. And the extremes are the cosmic drama that we are a part of. We'll talk more about that on one hand. And on the other hand, the radical intimacy of love that we're invited into. The thing is that God does not hold reality at arm's length. God does not care that reality fits, can be packed into our human spheres of management. God just dives into reality as it is. And so if we want to experience God, we have to join God. We have to be willing to step towards those realities, those extremes of reality, and the joy that pulses through God's veins in those places. So two ways, I want this to be as practical as we can be, because this is kind of abstract inherently, but I think there are ways that we can practice jumping into these extremes. The first one is to find ways of releasing ourselves into the cosmic drama of love. I just read from this ancient text, Genesis 1, and I've said before, if you've been listening to my sermons, that Genesis 1, the Bible as a whole, is not a science text. It's not a history text even, although there are historical parts of it. But textbooks are meant to inform us. They are meant to give us information, things that we need to know. Maybe so we can pass a test, right? That's how we're taught to use textbooks. That's not what the Bible is. What Genesis 1 is a poem. And poems are not meant to just inform us. They're meant to draw us in. We are meant to fall into the world of words that is a poem. That's what Genesis 1 is doing. It's drawing us into this world. And I cannot describe the world that Genesis 1 is drawing us into any better than Walter Brueggemann does in the quote I'm about to read. He says the Bible starts out, he's talking about Genesis 1, the Bible starts out with a liturgy of abundance. It declares that God blesses, that is, endows with vitality the plants and the animals and the fish and the birds and humankind. And it pictures the Creator as saying, be fruitful and multiply. In an orgy of fruitfulness, everything in its kind is to multiply the overflowing goodness that pours from God's Creator Spirit. Ah, isn't that a beautiful way of describing what the beauty that Genesis 1 is? And don't you get that impression? There's kind of this churning, empty void, darkness at the beginning, and then God speaks and there's light bursting, and there's creatures swarming, and then God is coming up with these ideas and saying, let's make human beings, and giving us all of this authority and power, and saying, use it well, be fruitful and multiply, participate in this creation. It is a picture of abundance. We often in our daily lives get caught up in the anxieties that come with all of the little things we have to do. We get really stressed over those things. And it's not that those things aren't important, but a lot of times we can feel trapped in our lives and in the things we have to do, the obligations that we have, the responsibilities that we face. And it's so important for us to allow ourselves sometimes, maybe daily, maybe more than that, to fall into the cosmic drama of life. Big bangs and minute steps towards life and extinctions and births and deaths and fruitful multiplication and tragic devastation. We learn more and more about the history of our planet and our galaxy, and we learn that there's been billions of years of this, and beyond us, there's so much more. And I know, I understand that for some of you, maybe, talk about evolution and God just doesn't mix and it makes you uncomfortable. And I want to tell you that the more I understand about God, the billions of years and the little intricacies and the process of evolution, the more I think of God, the more I am impressed by this amazing story that God, by love, has set in motion. It is a story of fruitfulness and abundance, and it is love that brought us here today. It is a miracle that you and I are here today. You are a part of this tiny planet whirling through space where beauty and goodness and life erupt all over the place in this moment in time. It is glorious. It is majestic. It is mystical. And yes, it is overwhelming. It can be scary to think of ourselves whirling through space on this tiny planet that's part of this tiny galaxy within this great thing, whatever space is. But friends, we got to be overwhelmed if we're going to experience joy. We have to go into those extremes because that is where reality is. That is where God is. And to appreciate the miracle of life, zoom out, see the grander story, and allow yourself to just settle into it and think, wow, I'm a part of that. That's one extreme. The other extreme, the other practice of the extreme is to hurl ourselves into the radical intimacy of love. And I want to give you just an illustration of how this, I met with this in my life in the last week, because I think it's important. I don't have this like extreme life. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what you think about pastors' lives, but mine in particular is not too extreme. But I happen to be outside. I have three kids, as most of you know. I never know who's watching these videos, right? And they were playing and they were doing something that was a little wild and a little crazy. And I was kind of at arm's length, right? I was kind of trying to make sure, all right, is everyone safe? Is anyone going to get hurt? Is anyone running into the street, right? That kind of distance, managing, supervising it. I'm trying to be responsible, right? And I had this moment as I heard them laughing. And I realized I don't want to be at a distance right now. I don't want to be thinking, oh yeah, they're laughing now, but what could happen in the next minute? And what that meant for me was to just take a step forward and to zoom in. And it wasn't like I, you know, crept up to them or anything. I still just let them play, but my perspective had changed dramatically. I was zooming in. I was actually listening to the laughter. I was seeing in a different way, and in such a beautiful way, the smiles on their faces. I was just appreciating what it's like to be a kid and to just be goofy and have fun, right? And that's true not just in those moments where they're laughing and having fun, but it's true in the moments where they're crying. And instead of being like, oh, how can I fix this? To say, okay, I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to wipe away the tear from your eye. I'm going to be near you. I'm going to feel the warmth of your body as you wake up from a nap, right? Those things, and on Mother's Day in particular, maybe these are some images that might connect with some of you, but maybe not. The reality is that there are other lots of places, lots of ways that we can zoom in and engage at a deeper level, whatever our surroundings are, whoever's around us, even ourselves, we can engage in a deeper way. God is not just sourcing life on a transcendent level. God gets disturbingly close, imminent, and intimate. It made me think of a story from 2 Kings chapter 6. And in this story, years ago, the Philistines, one of the old enemies of, and new, still, enemies of the Israelites, they had stolen the Ark of the Covenant. And this is the thing that was like the symbol. This is where God lived. And God said, I'm going to be with you. And the Ark was the symbol of that, and they'd stolen it. Well, the Israelites had brought it back, and they were bringing it back to Jerusalem. Long story short. And King David was so excited. This is what it says. As the Ark came forward, David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And we are told that his wife looks down from a balcony and she saw the King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And I had that picture because it's God is drawing near. And David is appreciating this presence of the divine. And he's shouting and dancing, and he says, I don't care what I look like. I'm just going to have joy and express my joy. This is also what we see in the Gospels. We might picture Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the shepherds and the magi coming around this baby child who God has said, this is the one, the chosen one. And we see them treasuring these things and rejoicing and sharing the good news. Or you might think of the story of the woman who has an ailment, and she's had this ailment for years, and she touches Jesus' robe, and Jesus is so in tune with that moment and his body. He says, I felt power transfer from me to her, and she's healed. That's such an intimate story. Or we might think of Mary Magdalene when she comes to the tomb on Easter morning, and she's looking for Jesus, and she sees this guy. She thinks he's the gardener until he says, Mary. And she realized she hears. She doesn't just hear the voice. She is overcome and overwhelmed by the intimacy that it's Jesus who has spoken her voice. This zooming in to the radical intimacy of love is kind of like if you ever have seen a painting. Maybe if you've gone to the art museum, you've had this experience. You see a painting from a distance. You're like, oh, that's a nice painting. That's beautiful. And then you go up closer and closer and maybe even right up next to it, and you can see something you couldn't see from a distance. You can see the ridges, the raised ridges that trace the master's brushstrokes that all came together to make this beautiful portrait. It's the difference between eating and tasting, or the distance, or the difference between touching and feeling. The difference between hearing and listening. It's that experience when you live with someone and they know you inside and out and you cannot lie or pretend with them, and it's terrifying. But nowhere is God more present than when we can open up our souls and the Holy Spirit of God can hover and can fan into flame the divine spark that's within us, and we can bear witness to that in one another. It only happens when we zoom in and dive into the extreme of that radical intimacy with another human being or with the creation or with God. This is where joy comes from. These experiences of intimacy and of falling back into the great drama of the world, these are scary, overwhelming, risky things. But God doesn't stand at a distance or hedge his bets. God is all mixed up in the messy and glorious reality of our humanity, and of our relationships, and our societies, and of creation. So I know most of us are not used to living this way. It takes practice. It takes small steps. It takes, you know, kind of dipping your toes sometimes and testing out the waters and saying, okay, I know it's cold, but I'm going to dive in. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have our meditation now. I'm going to guide you through this. Again, we're going to use not just our minds or our ears, but we're going to use our bodies. And what I want you to do first is to take your hands and to clench them. And I want you to maybe even curl up your body just a little bit until the point where it kind of feels like you feel when you're stressed or when you're holding life at a distance. All right, so take your hands and clasp them. Take your body, curl it up a little bit. And as you do that, I want you to think of those things that you are trying to manage, that you're trying really hard to manage right now. What are the things you're trying to accomplish right now? And you're straining to accomplish them. What are the ways you feel like you're failing right now and you don't want anyone else to see? Who are the people you're holding at arm's length? Or what are the experiences that you're holding at arm's length right now that you're trying to protect yourself from? And now I want you to release your hands. Let them be free. Take a deep breath. Open up your body. And fall back to the grand cosmic drama of life and love that is creation. To the billions of years, the billions of choices, the billions of lives and deaths that have allowed you to be alive right now. Breathe deeply for a moment, settled into that grand cosmic reality of life. And now, again, think of those things that you're keeping at arm's distance. And for this, you can use something else in the room. You can use your own hand if you want. Your hand is a great thing. Maybe it's someone else in the room. Or maybe it's even an object. Anything that you can look at. And just look at it. Again, maybe the back of your hand or your palm. And now zoom in. See it more deeply. If you're looking at a person, what have they been through? Who are they deep down? If it's your hand, think about what has this hand done? What has it created? What has it made? Where are the scars and the wounds? Now look deeper. Remember that this person, this thing, this part of you was crafted by a master's hand. It was made with love. You were made for love. And now take some deep breaths as you soak that in. Created things come from love, and all are destined for love, and we each are participants.